Can Auburn actually win the Iron Bowl? Happy Thanksgiving. It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. It's a Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, just a couple of days before the Iron Bowl kicks off, and we are going to have a barn takeover Thanksgiving edition, working through some technical difficulties, but I think it's going to be all right. It may look a little different, but it's going to sound the same, and we're going to have some fun. All the questions provided by members of the barnauburn.com. You still got time. It's the best value out there. $1 for your first month. You're going to finish up signing day. You're going to get deep into the portal all for a buck. Stretch it as far as you possibly can. And then obviously it's $9.95 after that. But they submitted their questions all day today. We're going to have some fun going through a lot of different topics, football, Iron Bowl related, recruiting related. And then some basketball stuff, and then some maybe a little even traditional Thanksgiving questions. So before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. So give them $100, multiply that by three. You'll get all that back in free play on top of your deposit. Go win a bunch in the casino and then take it to the sports book and bet all the lines you can imagine, every sport you can imagine, any way you can imagine. It's a lot of fun. Check them out, mybookie.ag. Without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump into the questions. Again, I won't be able to display them on the screen, but I'll be able to read the names and we'll have some fun regardless. So here we go. The first one, Graham McLean, been with us for basically since the beginning. I want to know your confidence level of Auburn actually winning the Iron Bowl this week. So if I had to give it a rating, 1 to 10, I'd say a 5. Just because, obviously, number one, going to Tuscaloosa is tough. I know that Saban's not there anymore, and Saban's the only coach that's actually beaten Auburn in Tuscaloosa. They didn't play in Tuscaloosa quite that often. Tubbs won a few times leading up until Saban took over. And now it's a new regime. You're going into Tuscaloosa. They're reeling. They're injured. They got one of their key defensive players, Deontay Lawson, out. And Jalen Milroe's obviously had some issues with consistency passing the ball. Auburn's done fairly decent in containing running quarterbacks. So I feel like there's an opportunity there to give them issues on offense. And then Auburn's sort of gaining some momentum on the offensive side of the ball. So we're kind of going in opposite directions. But at the end of the day, they're the most talented roster from recruiting perspective, in college football. From 247 Sports, they have, without a doubt, the most talented roster. They have the ability to be really explosive. So it's going to be, can Auburn weather the storm early and hang in there? But I think Auburn's going in the right direction, and in Alabama's a little bit reeling. So maybe you're catching them at the right time, but if I had to go 1 to 10, I'd say a 5. Tuscaloosa's going to be tough. Going into Tuscaloosa and coming out with a win is going to be really, really tough. But that's my confidence level at the moment. By kickoff, it'll be a 10. By kickoff, my boog will be at 100, and I think we're going to win by 30. So we'll see how things play out. Let's go to the next one. Durs, of the three, give me a confidence ranking from most confident to least. This is good. Number one, Freeze and Co. closing this recruiting class in the top three, Auburn winning the Iron Bowl, and Auburn beating Duke. Okay, so that's really, this is going to be a tough one. So the first, number one's easy to me. Freeze and Co. Finishing the class in the top three. I think that's number one. I think that's going to happen, and I would almost guarantee it at this point in time. You probably stand a very good chance to land Nyheim Offord. You're battling for Usman Khroma. You're right in the thick of it with Justice Terry. You got Darian Smith that you're looking at flipping from Tennessee here as well. That, I mean, I would almost just about consider him a commit on the list. So I think if you add, you know, three of those four, you're going to be in the conversation for number one. There could be some guy. Oregon's got a chance to finish strong. Texas has a chance to finish strong. But a lot of these guys, if you take them, some guys in front of you can fall backwards. So I think that one is the best, that Auburn has the best chance and the momentum trending towards finishing in that top three in recruiting. So that would be my number one. And then number two and number three, gosh, two tough road games. Can you imagine in the same week you have to go to Tuscaloosa and to Cameron Indoor to take on Duke? It's pretty within 4 or 5 days. Like holy cow, as an Auburn fan, it doesn't get any better than that. That's a tough one. That's a really, really tough one because both teams are going to be tough. I hate to put Auburn football above Auburn basketball, but I think Duke is just that much better right now than Alabama football is. Duke basketball right now is a better team than Alabama football is. And I think Cameron Indoor is a tougher environment than going to Tuscaloosa. Bryant Denny's still really commercial. I mean, it's a tough environment, but like, it's really commercialized. You know, it's not so much of the fans are right on top of you. They're kind of far away. In the end zones, they can get kind of close, but I don't feel like you got I just don't ever feel like you have the atmosphere there that you do at some of the more traditional college football stadiums. But Cameron Indoor, they're on top of you. They're called the Cameron Crazies. They get under your skin, and also they're really talented. Cooper Flagg is unreal. And then obviously their roster is always going to be really good. So I think I would go Auburn recruiting, finishing in the top three, number one. I think I'd go Auburn winning the Iron Bowl, number two. And then I'd go Auburn basketball going into Cameron Indoor as number three. So I think that's kind of how I would have it. I think that's kind of how I'd have it ranked. I'm sure there'll be some discussion over that. Get in the comments. Tell me what you think. What would you rank them? There's an easy argument for having basketball over football, for sure. There's an easy argument for that. But just for some reason, I feel like Duke basketball at Cameron Indoor, that's just a way taller task to me than going into Tuscaloosa right now with the way the team's kind of reeling a little bit. That's how I would have it. I Speak GIF, one of my favorites, hit us with a big super chat last Sunday on the live. Will this be the greatest collective week in Auburn history? I mean, we just talked about it right there. We just heard the possibilities. Okay. It goes from, instead of a week, it's more like 10 plus days. You got, in 10 plus days, you would have Auburn beating Texas A&M, top 15 win. You have Auburn winning the Maui Invitational. You could possibly have Auburn winning the Iron Bowl. Then you could have Auburn knocking off Duke at Cameron Indoor coming up Wednesday. And then signing day is Wednesday. And Auburn could sign. I mean, there's a clear pathway to the number one class in the country. It's really hard to imagine a more bug-tastic 10 days that you could possibly have than those right there. I mean, that would be an epic week and a half. It'd be phenomenal. It's hard to imagine something topping that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. What's something typically, I mean, when you've won Iron Bowls in the past, like, have there been some big, I don't think there's ever been a more monumental preseason basketball run than what Auburn's been on. So I would say, yeah, this has the potential to be the greatest collective week in Auburn history, like without a doubt. I mean, it's something that could be very, very special and something that we would remember a very, very long time. Another one of my favorite posters, Overfront. throwback to the greatest debate in the history of Auburn podcast history. How about that? That made a lot of sense. Where do you see Amaris Williams ending up on the defensive line? at 6'2", 270. He's currently a little light for the interior, but looks like he could hold another 20 pounds if needed. And I agree. I think you're going to see him in that Phillip Bleedy role, you know, not on a nose tackle, but you'll have Falk on one side. You'll have whoever we're going to have at nose may have to go to the portal for that. And then I think Amaris will be on the other side. And I think eventually he could take over that Keldrick Falk role, because we only got him for one more year. You better get ready for it. We better peak next year, because Keldrick Falk better enjoy it. He's a monster. He's a pro, and he'll be a very coveted prospect in the NFL. But Amaris has been very patient, but I think he's going to be the guy next year. I think there's a lot of playing time for him to be had next year. They brought in several portal guys to kind of fill one role. They tried to bring in multiple pieces to fill one role, and Phillip Bleedy ended up being sort of a blessing, and that sort of cut into that's allowed Amaris to be able to develop a little bit slowly and not thrown into the mix, because, like you said, over front, he's still a little on the light end of playing that position, because when you have three down linemen, you got to be a little bit bigger. You got to be just a little bit bigger, a little bit more able to hold your gaps and things like that. So I would think that would be a good spot for him moving forward, and I think that's where he's going to be. This one's a great question. Bo knows. Is there something wrong with Oscar Chapman? He seems to be snake bit with punts lately. He had a terrible game, almost cost the game against Texas A&M. I think he shanked one, and then he tried a little rugby punt and sort of smother hooked it out of bounds quick. He's never really been one of those kickers to me. I want a punter that just kicks it. I don't care where you are. Just kick it as far as you can. I want that booming leg. Remember, I don't know, Alabama used to have a punter, J.P. Scott. He's in the NFL now. And it didn't matter where he was. It could be on the 15, his own 15, his own 10. He was going to flip the field. And it just seems like Auburn, Oscar, we got about a 40 to 45-yard max. That's about all we got. And if he misses it at all, we're in trouble. And I think he had a lot of hype, hoping to have a really good season. And I just don't know. I don't know that I collectively remember. I've remembered that being the case this year. I feel like punting has been sort of a little bit of an issue. So that's something they definitely got to clean up. But you're going to have him have a good game. Every other punter in the country has gone off on us this year. We're talking about how many times have we been pinned on the one. I'd love for that to start being us a little bit more. So I don't think he's injured. I just kind of think he's just in a slump. So you got to figure that out, and you only got about 2 days to figure it out. So definitely got to have him. Can't have another Texas A&M game, or you're going to be in a lot of trouble, because Alabama is just 1,000 times more explosive than Texas A&M. So if you have one of those shank punts, they can turn that into, they can turn it into 6 points from anywhere. But definitely, if they got the opportunity to take a quick change of possession shot, they got the horses to be able to explode quickly and score quickly. So definitely need to make them have to drive the field and win field position, and can't do another Texas A&M versus this team. They'll make you pay for it. Cambo, this is a good question. Who are your top three quarterbacks you would target in the portal this December? Obviously, we don't know who's entered, but just theoretically, in a perfect world. Good question. So I'm just going to go based off of like the people that have been rumored that may enter the portal. Okay. Obviously, Auburn can't be talking with any of these guys, and I have no intel, and none of these answers are suggesting that Auburn is tampering or talking with any of them. It's just, who do I see that's been rumored that may enter the portal that could possibly be a really, really good fit with Auburn? And my number one is John Mateer from Washington State. He is somebody that is very, very he has a lot of Baker Mayfield vibes. They run a very RPO-heavy offense. He's very mobile. I think he had like almost 200 yards rushing this year versus Texas Tech. He's got a very good arm. He can improvise, which I think you're going to have to do. If you're going to come to Auburn, you're going to have to be able to improvise a little bit because the offensive line is still sort of in a building process. So I think that's who I would go with as my number one, definitely. I think he would be the best fit overall. If you could get the best bang for your buck, the best fit, the best quarterback, I'd definitely go with John Mateer from Washington State. But I think Oklahoma's going to be tough to beat because I think they're going to go push hard for his offensive coordinator. And then, obviously, you got to look at that possibly being a package deal. So that's probably who I would look at as my number one. Number two, again, there's been some talk about Avery Johnson from Kansas State possibly entering the portal as well. He is a dual threat, another dual threat guy that's had some success, probably a little bit more explosive of a runner, but not quite as explosive as a passer, maybe, as John Mateer, but somebody that I think could come in and compete and be a pretty solid prospect as well. And then like the first two have been rumored that they could possibly go into the portal. And then Josh Hoover from TCU throws for a pile of yards. I know Hugh wants to sling it. I think he could possibly be a really good fit too. So if I had to rank them, that would be my three. All those guys, there's been talks about they could possibly enter the portal. John Mateer, I think there was a rumor from Go Cougs that said there's 7-figure offers on the table for him. I don't know how true that is. I'm sure people are talking to him. I'm sure there's some tampering going on, but I will say that I'm not 100% sure that there is I don't know that there's a Cam Ward in this class, if that makes sense. I don't know that there's going to be almost a sure thing guy that's in there that you can get. You'll have to compete really hard to get that just like immediately makes you better. There's a pretty big element of risk with all these guys, but I think those three would be pretty, if Auburn were to be able to get any one of those three coupled with, you know, some offensive line help, I think you're going to be I think you got a chance to be something, you know, something special. Going back on the Iron Bowl theme, Andrew W88. Do you think we can get after Milroe and shut him down like Oklahoma did? Alabama normally doesn't choke twice historically. That's under Saban. Under Saban, they don't. They've had a lot of choking outside of Nick Saban. Now, how much of that Nick Saban culture is still around, that remains to be seen. But I guess that's the last 14 or 15 years, it's been the case. They just don't typically lose back-to-back, maybe ever, under Saban. But can Auburn get after Milroe? Can Auburn contain Milroe? Well, I think can they? Absolutely. I think they did that last year for the most part. I think you try to make him beat you with his arm, and if that's the case, you feel like you have a chance. And Auburn has played, it almost seems like every other week, plays some type of scrambling, some type of mobile quarterback, and they haven't faced one as explosive and as mobile as Jalen Milroe, who's probably faster than most SEC DBs. He's just as fast as a lot of the SEC DBs, definitely faster than most defensive linemen, but Auburn has that three-headed monster of DeMarcus Riddick, Jalen McLeod, and Kieron Crawford that have sort of perfected the art of the quarterback spy, and they work in unison. They work where they like flush the quarterback towards the help. They're really, really good at that. So if they're on their game, if they perform like they did against Texas A&M, I think that absolutely you can make Jalen turn into a pocket passer, and that's going to typically yield for some success for Auburn. I think they're still going to have to get after him, because you've seen, if you just let him sit back there for 100 years, he'll throw it as far as he possibly can, and you're probably going to have number two down there somewhere who can make a play against anybody. So, yes, you got to contain him, but, yes, you still got to heat him up a little bit too, take some chances. But, yeah, I do think Auburn has the personnel to be able to definitely contain and make Jalen throw it. Now, will they? That remains to be seen, but they definitely have the ability to. In other words, I don't see a huge mismatch there. This is a good question. Different type of question, but Tanjiro Kamado. Still haven't quite figured out if this is an AI or not, but he's very entertaining. Given it's Iron Bowl week, who is your favorite Alabama football player of all time? All right, so I have a little bit of a cop-out. My best friend of essentially all time from high school signed with Alabama, and I'm going to have to say Trent Davidson. My best friend from high school is my favorite Alabama football player of all time. As a true freshman, he started the last three games, 2004. So he started in the Iron Bowl. I told the story about Will Herring. Alabama drove down the field on first couple of drives. It's a weird feeling to see his name called in the Iron Bowl as a starter. And you want him to lose. You want Auburn to win the game, but you want him to do well too. He's wide open in the back of the end zone on the first drive, and Will Herring knocks it, bats it down right out of his hands, knocks away a touchdown. Trent Davidson, definitely my favorite Alabama football player of all time. But if I can't pick my best friend, I got to go with Amari Cooper. I don't know why. He never talked. You never heard from him. He just went out and handled business. He was never a problem. He was never allowed. He was never a trash talker. He just seemed like it was business to him, and seemed just like a good dude. So, I'm really AJ McCarron's really growing on me too. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that he does. McCready and Siski. You know, we had Tyler Siski on the show. He's very entertaining. I know when he was at Alabama, I hated him, but he's pretty entertaining. But I think I liked Amari Cooper even when he was at Alabama. He was just fun to watch. So, got my cop out answer. My best friend, and then obviously if I can't take my best friend, I'm going to take Amari Cooper. So that's what I'm going to go with. All right. JDS34, call your shot at the biggest position group upgrade outside of quarterback that we get or go after in the portal. What's crazy about this question is it doesn't feel like you're going to have to go – there's not a lot of position groups where – you're going to have to go out and get multiple players. So it's like we're at the point now where you're probably just going to find like one piece here or there across the board, you know, almost at like each individual position group, maybe like one piece. But it feels like the opportunity, and from what I've understand it, what I understand the strategy that they're going for and the emphasis that they're going for, I think it's going to be offensive line. I think that they want to go, and they're willing to do whatever they have to do to get at least one blockbuster tackle and possibly another interior guy to pair with him, or two tackles. So I think you're going to get two big-time offensive linemen and maybe even some younger guys, sophomores or something like that. So I think you'll probably get the most positions – out of the offensive line. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with offensive line. Hopefully, you can get Jeremiah Wright to come back. Hopefully, Dylan Wade has another year. Dylan Wade could come back. You definitely lose Xavier Miller. And obviously, you lose Percy Lewis as well. So, worst case scenario, Dylan Wade could play tackle. You still have Tyler Johnston that's developing and getting better. He could take a big step forward, but I think you're going to get two offensive linemen. So since there's not a ton of position groups where I think you're going to get multiple players, I think I'm going to go offensive line. I think offensive line as a group is going to make the biggest improvement from the portal this year. Yeah, I'm going to definitely go offensive line. AU Detective, why have we not seen more Bryce Cain? Is it just not ready? Or is it just because we have pretty good depth at wide receiver? I think it's just the depth, man. He's smaller. He's got some growing to do physically. He's got all the speed in the world. And I think he's going to be electric, and I think he's going to play a lot next year. Man, you get that guy coming back. They tried to get him a touchdown in the first game, and he ran a beautiful route, shook his guy, made his guy fall down. But Peyton threw it a little bit early, got it to Cam on an easy completion. And obviously you definitely don't want to burn a red shirt. I know he could play now and not have any problems with that. If somehow Auburn were to get into a bowl game, I would imagine you'd see a good bit of Bryce Kane. He's definitely going to be a star, definitely one that's going to be a vital, vital part of this wide receiver group moving forward. That inside position between him and Malcolm are they're going to be able to eat and eat a lot, and he fits a very specific role. He'll be a great third down guy, third and manageable guy that can just get matched up on a nickel or maybe even a linebacker, and there's no way they can cover him. You know what I mean? He'll have a free release to be able to you know, drive up the field, pick inside or outside, and there's just nobody that's going to be able to touch his speed. So very excited about him. I don't think there's anything to worry about. He's just young. He's smaller. He has to grow a little bit. He's got to get in the weight room, but he's going to be good. He's going to be really good. Yeah, boy, George, this is a great question. Auburn has a tradition of leaders at the linebacker position. Takiyo Spikes, Deshaun Davis, Zakobi McLean, Eugene Asante, et cetera. Who do you think is the next great leader at linebacker? All those guys you just mentioned played more of a traditional linebacker role. And honestly, I don't know who that would be because the easy answer is DeMarcus Riddick, but what position does he really play moving forward? He's really more of an outside linebacker. And as of right now, it's sort of he's playing sort of like a niche role. Obviously, that's going to blossom. That role is going to grow as he gets older. And he gets better, obviously better every game. But I think he could still be that guy. I think DeMarcus Riddick could still be that guy. I'm hearing a lot of good things about DJ Barber, and DJ Barber kind of fits the role of all those guys right there that we just named. He's sort of a similar player. So if you're looking for a middle line, who's the next great middle linebacker, I've heard a lot of great things about DJ Barber. I think if you hang on to Elijah Melendez, he could be that guy. But if I'm just looking at linebackers in general, DeMarcus Riddick's going to be the face of this defense, I think, maybe as soon as next year. I really do. I mean, Keldrick Fox, obviously an easy one, but he sort of goes – he does a lot of dirty work. DeMarcus is the one that's going to get a lot of the highlights. I'm going to say he's going to be – he'll be the guy that's sort of your face of the defense, and hopefully he can take over that leadership role. Preacher, this is more of a statement, and he's done it twice now, and I love it each time. Not a question, but Tahad is greater than Aiden. Tahad Pettiford is greater than Aiden Holloway. Never going to let that die. I want to see some more minutes out of Tahad. As long as he keeps working on defense, boy, oh, boy, he's fun. Man, he's fun. That step back lefty three, whew, it's like a teardrop too. It's not one of those like line drives. I mean, it is coming in from some altitude, and he just don't miss, man. He's going to be fun. He can finish. He gets to the line. He's explosive. He can beat his guy off the dribble. It's just he's fun, man. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. WDE Jack 24, who do you see? Do you see us jumping to number one, or is it not likely to jump Kansas? I don't think so, unfortunately. I think we're going to be number two. And it's not so much that I think Kansas is better than Auburn. It's that they're number one now. And they beat Duke, and they beat North Carolina. Like it's, they just beat Duke, and they haven't done anything, I guess, to drop them. So basically, you got to say we were wrong. You know what I mean? If you move Auburn ahead of them, then the AP, the Associated Press, have to say they're wrong, and they're not going to do that. I'm not worried about AP number one. This team's good. This team just needs to keep getting better. keep getting better. And what's crazy is you worry about peaking too soon, but I don't even feel like we're peaking. Janai is just going off. Like, if you really think about it, we've got room for improvement at guard. As crazy as that sounds, there's some room for improvement there, and I think they'll get better. The point guards are going to get better and better each game, but I don't think you're going to jump Kansas. I really don't. I think they're going to be number two, and that's fine. Don't get hung up on AP poll in November. We're worried about March. This is a journey towards March. D. Moultrie, this may be the easiest question I've ever been asked. D. Moultrie, at the end of his tenure, will Bruce be regarded as the greatest AU basketball coach in program history? I mean, I think he's already the greatest basketball coach in program history. I mean, there could not have been a more perfect match at a perfect point in time of Auburn basketball and Bruce Pearl going through what he was going through with the NCAA stuff, Auburn being at the bottom of the whole of all college basketball, needing to be able to take a chance on being willing to take a chance on somebody. And you go get Bruce, and he's been so loyal and so great to Auburn, taking Auburn to heights they've never been to before, winning multiple SEC titles, a Final Four, and just in a really, really exciting brand that Auburn gets to turn to after football season, a traditional football school, easily. He's easily the best ever at Auburn. And I would say pound for pound, I mean, he's got to be in some of the arguments for the best coach in SEC basketball. I mean, at least in some of the top, you know, the top rankings. No, he doesn't have the NCAA titles. But, man, just think about some of the schools he's taken over and what he's done. Tennessee has not typically been a traditional basketball school. They've been a traditional women's basketball school, not really at men's. He took it over and went to an Elite Eight, won some SEC titles. And then Auburn, obviously, the worst program in college basketball. And then he takes it over, and within 4 years, you're in the Final Four, or 5 years, you're in the Final Four. It's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff he's been able to do. He needs help with NIL, and ultimately that may be what pushes him. Hopefully it doesn't push him into retirement. I mean, Auburn, we got to step it up on the NIL side for basketball. It's tough when you're a traditional football school and you're donating so heavily to try to get that program back, and it takes funds away from basketball to be able to be competitive. I mean, you just lost a kid that probably would have come to Auburn. All things equal, you know, 10 times out of 10, he goes to Cincinnati, Sean Abave, who would have been a game changer next year at a position that we really need. So definitely got to step up the NIL help there. Last question, William Tiger, is sweet potato casserole a side or a dessert? So funny, actually had that conversation today at lunch. The consistency, the flavor is that of a dessert. But it goes during the meal. You eat it during the meal. You don't eat it after the meal. So I would say the answer is definitely a side. You don't eat desserts. You don't have your desserts touching your turkey. You don't have your desserts touching your green bean casserole. You don't have desserts on the same plate as your regular meal. And you don't have desserts during the meal. You have them afterwards. And nobody eats sweet potato casserole after the meal. That's just weird. You can eat sweet potato pie after the meal. You eat sweet potato pie. You eat sweet potato casserole during the meal. That, therefore, it's a side. That is science. That is just the way. That is the reality of how you eat that side. How you eat that side, and it's delicious. I had some today, and there was probably more sugar in it than you could. it was unbelievable between the regular sugar and the brown sugar. It was unreal. One of my favorite sides, underrated. Love sweet potato casserole. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. We're going to keep battling, trying to get this content out for you. It may look a little different again, but it's going to sound the same. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week with your family. If you're traveling back home, be safe. We're going to have a show again tomorrow. And then obviously you're going to have your Know the Enemy before the game on Saturday. So when you're if you're driving to Tuscaloosa or driving home, you'll be able to get it caught up a little bit on knowing the best matchups, knowing what to watch for. We'll definitely keep you in the loop there. I really appreciate it, guys. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast, Thanksgiving and Barn Takeover Edition. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.